Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri and Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, January 18th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
ZANU-PF starts preparing for President Robert Mugabe's $800,000 birthday bash.
We're not only celebrating a day, but we're celebrating events. We're celebrating a process. We're celebrating a life at the end of the day, but a life well-lived.
The Zimbabwe Statistics Agency says the country's consumer prices fell by 2.47% last month.
What it means is that we are in what we term a deflationary vicious cycle. Deflationary vicious cycle implies that the general level of prices in the economy are weakening.
The Zimbabwe Embassy in South Africa says Zimbabweans must fully utilize their facilities.
The Zimbabwean consulate is responsible for documentation. We are responsible for renewal of passports, of authentication of their documents, new birth certificates.
And ZIFA promises to give the Warriors $10,000 if they beat Zambia tomorrow.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The ruling ZANU-PF party has started preparations for President Robert Mugabe's annual birthday bash next month, with some reports indicating that the target for this year's festivities is to raise $800,000. This has raised the ire of the opposition, which says that money should have been put in better use to feed the hungry or pay government workers. Mr. Mugabe will be turning 92 on February 21st. Ironically, the bash is going to be held in Masvingo, one of the country's provinces hardest hit by drought. The bash, also known as the 21st February Movement, is held annually in different cities and towns. Last year, it was held at the premier resort town of Victoria Falls. ZANU-PF Central Committee member Joseph Chuma tells Studio 7 the money used for the bash should not worry anyone because it comes from donors and well-wishers.
Like any other birthday of any other person, it's a very important day, the day that we celebrate the coming in of a life, the beginning of a life, and now in particular our president, his exemplary life that he has led. He has lived a God-fearing life, something that the youths and everybody else can actually emulate and follow. So it is important that we celebrate such kind of life. We are not only celebrating a day, but we are celebrating events. We're celebrating a process, we're celebrating a life at the end of the day, but a life well-lived, a life lived selflessly in defense of our sovereignty and in protection of all the enemies that might want to attack us.
But Mr. Chuma, there are some critics who say that the $800,000 that is earmarked for this birthday should have been put to other use, like assisting the needy. What do you say of that?
The needy must be looked after, they must be assisted, and there are programs that are earmarked for that, with an active ministry of public service and social welfare that is going all the way out to look for, to look out for the need of those who are actually in need. There are certain other organizations, like even the NGOs, Christian organizations that are all out to do that.
That was ZANU-PF Central Committee member Joseph Chuma. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo. We also reached Deputy Spokesperson Tabitha Kumalo of the MDCT, who says the celebration is obscene at a time when thousands of people are reeling with hunger.
As the MDCT led by Morgan Tangira, we are so disgusted that we've got a 92-year-old leader who has sacrificed the lives of 12 million Zimbabweans who are failing to survive, and most of them sooner than later will be dying of hunger. It does not make sense that when others are mourning and we come to celebrate, shifted to monitor the Zimbabwean people and giving the Zimbabwean way forward in terms of turning around this economy. Because, I mean, why should you look for money? I would have appreciated if you were saying you were fundraising the 800,000 for the Green Dial, a dialysis machine, at Karenia, at Oslo, or in Pili, then you would understand. So which means to say, if one leader who doesn't even care about the people's plight, and Zimbabwe, the time has come for us to pray for the deficit.
Are you, as a party, going to make a formal complaint about the excesses of this celebration?
Absolutely, we are going to make a formal complaint. But at the same time, we are going to talk to the Zimbabweans and we tell them our policy direction vis-a-vis this issue of large when Zimbabweans are after 4 months. So thereafter, then we will consult the people of Zimbabwe for them to grace, make sure that we get a region of this. The time is now, and enough is enough. People are sick and tired of being sick and tired.
That was Tabitha Khumalo, deputy spokesperson of the MDCT. She spoke on the line with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
The Zimbabwe Statistics Agency, or ZimStats, says the country's consumer prices fell by 2.7% in December last year. The agency attributed this deflation to the continued weakening of the South African rand against the United States dollar and other factors. Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe says the current situation does not do any good to local manufacturers as they are forced to compete with goods sourced from outside the country at cheaper prices. Chitambara tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the deflation may also reflect weak aggregate demand.
Basically, what it means is that we are in what we term a deflationary vicious cycle. Deflationary vicious cycle implies that the general level of prices in the economy are weakening. And it's not a good or positive thing for the economy, because prices or inflation is a barometer of economic activity in the country. So when prices are weakening, it actually indicates that the economy is also weakening. And this has been exemplified by continued deindustrialization, continued loss of jobs by workers. So what it means is that the economic agents will not have enough liquidity in their pockets to actually increase the aggregate demand in the economy. So it's mainly as a result of the lack of liquidity that is prevailing in the economy, because liquidity is what pushes aggregate demand. If the economy is illiquid, it means aggregate demand will be affected. If the economy is liquid, it also encourages aggregate demand in the economy. So it's a reflection of a weakening economy.
Looking at these general price levels in the economy last year, what was the benefit for Zimbabwean producers or manufacturers?
There wasn't a big deal of a benefit, in the sense that when the consumers don't have enough liquidity, it means their ability to buy locally produced commodities is affected. Yes, we are saying that there's been a modicum of stability, but that stability now is not beneficial in the sense that it's coming under the backdrop of a weakening economy, which is reflected by this deflationary mode that the economy is undergoing. So it's not beneficial to industry in the sense that the local consumers are not consuming locally produced commodities to the extent that the local producers would want or would love.
That was economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe's Consular General Batiraishe Henry Mukono Weshuro has urged Zimbabweans in South Africa to approach his office for any help they may need while in the diaspora. Mukono Weshuro says his door is open to all Zimbabweans visiting or living in South Africa.
The Zimbabwean Consulate is responsible for documentation. We are responsible for renewal of passports, of authentication of their documents, new birth certificates. We also assist those who want to have marriages here for obtaining what they call non-marriage certificate, conversion of license. We open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday.
Mukono Eshuro Fedha says he's currently visiting different parts of South Africa, informing Zimbabweans about services offered by his offices in the country, as well as rendering service whenever possible. He says they are currently compiling a document that will contain information about their activities.
We have always insisted on our Zimbabweans having valid passports and valid permits and ensuring that wherever they work, they should ensure that through their employers, they should try to have their papers and their permits in order. It's a case of people being economic refugees than anything else, and it's a pity that they're here in their numbers.
Thousands of Zimbabweans live in South Africa as political and economic refugees due to serious economic problems back home.
Meanwhile, South Africa is quickly running out of maize as the El Nino drought deepens. Like many other countries in Southern Africa, South Africa is experiencing its worst drought in decades as the current crop withers due to extreme heat and little rainfall. Food prices are rising and may be out of reach for millions. Tuso Kumalo reports for VOA from Johannesburg.
A devastating drought caused by adverse effects of El Nino has left South Africa exposed to a serious food security threat. El Nino is a global climate phenomenon characterized by the warming of ocean surface temperatures in equatorial parts of the Pacific and recurs every few years. The country's water reservoirs are running low and it is left with a four-month stock of its staple food, maize. South Africa's Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, Senzene Zokwana, says the situation is critical and requires urgent importation of maize.
By the end of May, we may be short of white and yellow maize. We'll have to make sure, therefore, that by that time we have enough maize in stock.
Experts warn that over $1 billion will be required to avert catastrophic hunger for both humans and animals. The World Food Programme said Monday that an estimated 14 million people are facing hunger in Southern Africa, while programs intended to assist people face critical funding challenges. Botswana says it is experiencing its worst drought in 5 years, with both water and food stocks quickly running out. This Botswana rural farmer, Mutu Imang Mase, says the future is gloom and doom.
Life is very difficult. Not being able to plow, no food for our cattle, no grass, so we are really having a problem.
Zimbabwe has not been spared either. Most crops have wilted because of heat and long dry spells. Thousands of livestock have also succumbed to the drought, with the government already failing to pay civil servants due to lack of funds. Many fear it is a matter of time before they too face the same fate as their livestock. Tuso Kumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
drug and alcohol abuse devastating young people in Zimbabwe.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The Democratic candidates running in this year's presidential election agreed Sunday that the implementation of the nuclear deal with Iran and a release of U.S. citizens represent a positive step in relations, while also calling on countries in the Middle East to increase their role in the fight against Islamic State.
Asia's key Hang Seng Index fell 1.5% today, closing the day at its lowest point in more than 3 years.
And a Kenyan army unit reportedly decimated in an attack by Al-Shabaab militants last Friday had received warnings of the assault, according to a Somali general.
Calamities associated with excessive intoxication, dementia, seizures, liver disease, and early death have not deterred young people in Zimbabwe from abusing alcohol and dangerous drugs. The current upsurge in drug and alcohol abuse among the youth is worrying, with reports of several drug-induced psychosis cases at the country's hospitals. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa reports from Harare.
Codeine, Brongolia, Cannabis, Maragada, Musombodia, Kachasu, Teg-Teg and Z are some of the popular drugs that youths in Zimbabwe are taking. Most of the youths who engage in these activities claim that they have nothing to do in the country due to lack of jobs. But some parents believe that there is general moral decadence in the country, leading to drug and alcohol abuse. University graduate Tatenda Maramwidze, who has failed to find a job since leaving college in 2013 after doing an economics degree, says youths are drowning their sorrows in drugs and alcohol.
It's not that easy to keep on being looked after by your parents after you have graduated. So because of this pressure, we end up doing drugs and pills and that stuff so that we can get drunk and forget our problem.
Maramwidze says it is easy to get stoned in Harare.
These drugs are very cheap. Even for a dollar, you can easily get drunk fast.
Another youth who preferred to be identified only as Bragiza from Highfield concurs, noting that even spirits are cheap for unemployed youths.
I'm not employed, I don't go to work, and I wake up every morning, I have nothing to do, and I end up drinking. We drink what is popularly known as Sombodia. It comes from some guys who work at Afdis in Mandabden. So they bring the beer to us. They sell it at 50 cents per 750 milliliter bottle. And that small bottle can be enough for 3 to 4 of us.
These youths are aware of the dangers of taking drugs and abusing alcohol. Elmon Takavada is one of them.
Sometimes you get a small job to offload something from a car. Maybe you are helping someone to shift from another location to another. And then you are given $3. Out of that $3, the next thing that you do is that you buy a small bottle of spirit. These days we call them Sombodia. Because at least these ones are cheaper. You see, I'm an educated person, but right now I can't find a job. So that stress is another pressure which is pushing me to indulge in beer drinking and drug abuse.
Ambrose Marconi, a 30-year-old Manyame resident, says he's recording brisk business with the Tegu Tegu spirit, which he is selling even without a liquor license.
Tegu Tegu is a locally brewed beer from Tari. It's a very strong beer. The alcohol content is around about 30 to 40%. Normally youths drink that beer so that they'll get drunk faster. Maybe if you take 3 to 4 lids, will be done. If you are drinking it undiluted.
Peter Mchengeti, a Harare resident who is also a human rights activist, argues that the government is to blame for its failure to control the selling of some of these items on the local market.
You get also the government failing to control the illegal entry of intoxicating drinks like broncoline, sombodia, tegu-tegu, especially via the Mozambican border, because most of these come in from Tari. You also find that even at colleges, our children, they take mbanje, they take all sorts of intoxicating drinks and illegal substances.
Muchenget says government should tighten its borders in order to control the smuggling of these alcoholic beverages. He also believes that children these days have too many rights that give them the ability to end up abusing various substances.
There are too many of these rights such that these kids no longer have any respect because they believe they have rights but they don't have responsibilities. This is also due to the fact that there is a lot of immoral decadence.
A clinical psychologist with one of the state hospitals who refused to be identified believes that drug and alcohol abuse is on the increase due to the current social and economic problems in Zimbabwe. She says some of the youths end up in hospital after getting too stoned.
The youths in Zimbabwe are taking undiluted drugs and in measures that they're not quantified by any doctor or anything. And these youths usually take these drugs because of societal problems like unemployment. Some have marital problems or financial problems. So these drugs now affect their self-control. They are no longer able to make sound decisions. And they usually fool the brain's neurotransmitters. So in essence, drug abuse is a global problem, including here in Zimbabwe. And it knows no boundaries. It is everyone's problem. And prevention is the only long-term solution.
Statistics released in August last year by government showed that alcohol and drug abuse is highest among young adults aged between 15 to 29 years and lowest among adults aged 65 years and older. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
And in sports news, the Warriors have been promised $10,000.
We beg your pardon. Today, Zimbabwe joined America and the international community in celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Day. King, a Baptist minister and civil rights activist, was born on January 15th, 1929 in Atlanta, Georgia. Through his activism and policy of nonviolent direct confrontation, he played a pivotal role in ending the legal segregation of African-American citizens in the South, South and other areas of the nation, as well as the creation of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. King received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964, among several other honors. He was assassinated in April 1968 and continues to be remembered as one of the most lauded African-American leaders in history, often referenced by his 1963 speech, "I Have a Dream." Political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya, director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that King inspired Zimbabwe liberation war fighters.
Martin Luther King is significant in the history of oppressed societies, oppressed people, and those that are seeking freedom. He illuminated the whole discourse about civil rights, the need for passive resistance, the need to resist in a lawful manner, the issues of civil disobedience, and generally the putting African-American thought leadership on the plane of academic and international discourse. That Africans as agents, Africans are sober people, Africans can think, Africans can resist. So he's an icon of freedom, an icon against oppression, an icon for democratic civil disobedience and civil resistance. And he's an inspiration to generations to come on how to hold governments accountable, on how to seek freedom without being violent, non-violent, direct confrontation, as you said.
And what lessons can Zimbabwe in particular draw from his life?
Zimbabweans were inspired by the life of Martin Luther King. You would understand that the civil rights movement began in the streets, and that was the period when Zimbabweans were struggling for independence.
That was political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya, director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
And in sports news, the Warriors have been promised $10,000 should they win the African Nations Championship opener against Chipolopolo of Zambia tomorrow. Reporter Michael Kariati gives us more details.
There will be $10,000 cash on delivery for the Warriors to share should they steamroll over the Chipolopolo of Zambia in their African Nations Championships opener at the Umganda Stadium in Rubavu tomorrow afternoon. Zipa President Philip Chiangwa revealed that each of the three Warriors group matches will carry 10,000 for the players, for a total of 30,000, adding that there will be more should they reach the knockout stages. According to Chiangwa, the money has been placed in possession of team manager Sharif Musa, who has been tasked with the distribution should the Warriors deliver the goods as required. The Warriors arrived in Rubavu Saturday, and coach Kalisto Pasua is happy with the way they are being treated in the small Rwandan town. Pasua says there are no injury worries in his team and has declared war on their southern African neighbors.
No injuries to note. We stand to wait for our last session to name the team and declare war on Tuesday.
The Warriors coach adds that the fact that they are opening the tournament against their biggest rivals in the group is motivation enough for the Warriors to come out tops from the four-team grouping.
And I'm going to have more of motivation to the boys in terms of for us to come up with the result.
Even Captain Adlife Zirekwi knows the importance of winning their opening match, which he thinks will be crucial in their progression in the 16-team contest.
The first match is very important. It sets the tone to the tournament that you're going to be playing. So I think, yeah, we really have to go for it and try to win it.
Since June 7, 1980, Zimbabwe and Zambia have met on 44 occasions. Zimbabwe have won 15 of those outings, with the Chipolopolo on their part winning 7 times. The other 22 matches have ended in stalemates. Apart from Zambia and Zimbabwe, the other teams in the group are Mali and Uganda. The top two teams in the group qualify for the quarterfinals. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. Still on sports, Zimbabwe Warriors soccer fan Alvin Jakata has won admiration from many Zimbabweans after he embarked on a 5-day journey by road to cheer his beloved Zimbabwe national team, the Warriors. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu caught up with Jakata, who's now in Rwanda, and spoke to him about his journey.
I left Harare on Wednesday around 6 a.m. and I traveled through Zambia. And in Zambia, I encountered some problems, but they rectified. I then passed through Tanzania, and on the Tanzanian border, the authorities, when I told them that I was in transit to go to Burundi, then Rwanda. So when I mentioned the Burundi, they just thought maybe I'm one of the terrorists, or they just didn't want to throw caution to the wind. So they said my bag, and I was scanned, and they asked me some questions. So when they were satisfied that I was really going for a soccer tournament in Rwanda, they gave me a police escort to the bus terminal so that I can get a lift to a place called Mbeya.
We understand you were briefly interrogated by the Rwandan troops. What happened at the border?
As soon as I entered into Rwanda, I blew my vuvuzela in celebration that I'm finally here. So when the soldiers heard the sound of the vuvuzela, they probably thought something else. So they came with a truckload, with a truck full of soldiers. And when they discovered that I was a soccer fan from Zimbabwe and I come for the soccer tournament, they were actually excited. They started asking me questions. Oh, Robert Mugabe, come from Zimbabwe all the way by road. And they were so excited, so they started taking pictures one by one, pictures with me. And they also arranged transport for me to travel from the border to the capital, which is Kigali.
And that was Zimbabwe Warriors soccer fan Alvin Jakata speaking on the line with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Rubavu, Rwanda.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today, our host Gibbs Dube and Blessing Zulu will be talking with listeners and experts about the cost of living in Zimbabwe.
And now to recap today's top stories.
ZANU-PF starts preparing for President Robert Mugabe's $800,000 birthday bash.
The Zimbabwe Statistics Agency says the country's consumer prices fell by 2.47% last month.
And Zifa promises to give the Warriors $10,000 if they beat Zambia tomorrow.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.